Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from a basement out here in the plains of Colorado, and Bill Jack from World Academy in studio with me today.
Good to be back, Kevin, after the blizzard of 2019.
What blizzard?
Oh, that's right. You were in a sandstorm, right? In the Bahamas.
Well, we were down in the Bahamas just before the snowstorm.
Yeah. You got back in time for it, though.
Yes, we did. Yes. It was the most significant storm we've had since 1997, I think.
Yeah. It was a good one.
What was interesting is we were able to continue the broadcast even during the storm.
That's because you're in a bunker.
Yes, and Steve was in his. And so we recorded on both sides and were able to coordinate those recordings.
Oh,
so
the joys of technology.
Thankfully, you don't shut down the Generations Radio broadcast even when you're facing the biggest storm in 20 years.
No. But there is a firestorm, if you'll pardon
there
the
is
pun.
A firestorm all surrounding Peppa Pig.
Yeah, and we're not talking barbecue here.
No, we're not. No. Peppa Pig is a blockbuster cartoon aired in 180 countries around the world, and I've never seen it before.
No, I've never seen it either.
Well, Peppa Pig's in trouble because they referred to a firefighter as a fireman.
And the problem with that is?
It's politically incorrect.
Why is it politically incorrect?
Because Gramsci said it was.
Because firefighters can be both men and women.
Because the influence of egalitarianism has been very strong.
So the firemen are up in arms protecting the firewomen. Is that what's going on here?
They don't call them firemen and firewomen. They call them firefighters now, evidently. So that's the appropriate term.
Yeah, so we're down to fighting words again.
So, again, this is the influence of Gramsci, the neo-Marxists, the social Marxists, the cultural Marxists. They're very, very powerful, and they're going to influence all of society, with the exception of maybe 20 people around the United States, by changing the terms, the language, and they will use all of the influence of education, media, movies, culture, and every part of the zeitgeist to shift the winds and thereby create a more thoroughgoing revolution than Karl Marx could have ever dreamed with through violent revolutions. In other words, what is going on in the changing of culture and the egalitarianism that is being pressed upon the culture today through our cultural systems, far more influential than anything the Marxists could have done in the Russian revolutions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, language matters. Language is important because if you can capture the language, then you've captured ideas. And when you capture the ideas, you change people's minds.
So let me ask you this, Bill. Are you going to continue to refer to firefighters as firemen?
I'm certainly going to call them firemen now.
Yeah.
After that.
Well, you know, I hear more and more Christians referring to homosexual people as gays. They don't refer to them as sads.
No.
They refer to them as gays.
Actually, it's more LGBTQ.
They do that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's becoming increasingly politically correct, and so Christians are, I would say, in mass, with maybe the exception of 14 or 15 Christians in America today, they are in mass referring to homosexuals as LGBT or as gays.
Right.
And so, obviously, either one of those are fine because you're still incorporating the G term, the gay term for homosexuals. Well, friends, it is language that the cultural Marxists have captured, and they are almost totally in control of our modern systems. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack, also in studio. Now as we come to the zeitgeist of the day in which egalitarianism has been completely normalized, and a judge has ruled that selective service, that is the draft, must be opened up for females as well as males. This was a Texas judge who declared that the current selective service system, which imposes registration requirements and penalties for noncompliance on young men only, is unconstitutional. This came as a result of a suit on behalf of two draft-age male plaintiffs, and the plaintiffs claim that male-only registration requirements violate men's equal protection rights. Now, I read the case, and in the case, this is very important. Here's the quote from the case itself. This was the 19-page decision handed down by Judge Miller on February 22nd. Now get this, Bill. Here's the quote from the case. Defendants provided no evidence that Congress ever looked at arguments on this topic and then made a studied choice on alternatives. Had Congress compared male and female rates of eligibility, things could have turned out different. Now, why crickets with Congress? Why crickets with Congress? We're going to refer to an article in just a moment from the Center for Military Readiness, a critical article which I think everybody should read. But why crickets? That's the question I want to ask today on this edition of the program. Why wouldn't Congress compare male and female rates of eligibility? Because they were hiding under the bed.
Yeah, because they need to man up. Oh, excuse me. Person up.
They got a woman up.
Oh, okay. They need to get their big girl pants on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Friends, the reason why the judge is forced to this point is that Congress won't act on the subject. Congress is hiding under the bed. They wouldn't dare compare male and female rates of eligibility. Why? Because they're frightened stiff. Because, of course, nobody's going to touch this with a 10-foot pole, with the exception of an occasional radio program that airs from a basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado.
In a bomb-proof bunker.
Friends, radio programs, books, churches, schools, they wouldn't dare bring this issue up. Why? Because they will be slammed. Because they will be persecuted. Because the zeitgeist is blowing the other way. Because this cultural Marxism is working stronger than you can imagine. You know, Ted Cruz did bring this up in the 2016 election. He's the only person I've heard speak on the issue of the female draft. He was opposed to it. The rest of government, pretty much crickets, friends. Pretty much crickets. Why crickets on this one? Well, listen to the Center for Military Readiness. They did a great article on the subject to update us on where things are headed for the female draft in America. Now listen to this. The House of Representatives has not had a public hearing examining the women in combat issue since 1979. Get this. 40 years ago.
40 years
Bill,
ago.
Bill, I'm like, what, 15 years old? I'm 15 years old. The House of Representatives has not had a public hearing examining women in combat since 1970, except for a brief session with Pentagon officials in February 2016. The Senate has not held a hearing on the issue since 1991, 28 years ago. The Republican-controlled 114th Congress failed to challenge the Obama administration's irresponsible policy changes in 2015, and the Trump administration has not reviewed or revised them since taking office in January 2017. Why? Why? Why, with few exceptions, congressional leaders did not question or challenge the previous administration's decision to treat women like men in the combat arms. Both the House and Senate Armed Services Committee avoided the issue and failed to conduct public hearings with independent witnesses and experts who could have made a record of testimony on the highly credible scientific research that the Marines have produced over 3 years. But the question again comes back to us, friends. Why won't Congress touch the issue?
Because they're in the closet.
Because they're under the bed.
Oh, they're in the closet. They're not going to come out of the closet.
Because
as men, they don't want to come out.
Because egalitarianism and feminism is sacrosanct. That's why.
Yep.
They won't touch it. Bill, the snowflakes are winning in the age of the neo-Marxists and cultural hegemony. The Gramscians are engaging in class warfare and gender warfare and have been for 50 years. They wage their warfare on the ideological state apparatuses of the church, the public and private school, the female, the family, the media, and the cultural systems of literature, arts, and sports. That's what the Gramscians are doing, friends. That's what the cultural Marxists are doing. Remember, the largest socialist voting bloc in America is what? Single women. And the cultural Marxists know this. They know that you've got to destroy marriage. You've got to see the breakdown of the family. This is, of course, what Karl Marx mentioned in the Communist Manifesto, the abolition of the family and the abolition of the family economy that was essential to the socialist system. But it couldn't happen by political revolutions. It couldn't happen by blood in the streets. It absolutely had to happen by the change of language and the cultural revolutions and the media revolutions. The family revolutions, the sexual revolutions, friends, the destruction of marriage is essential. The rise in premarital sexuality, the destruction of family relationship is essential to bring about the Marxist destruction of the family and the society. You can't bring about a totalitarian state unless you kill marriage and keep women single as long as possible and bring egalitarianism into the workplace. Friends, this is how you bring in a massive socialist totalitarian state. And it appears the Christian evangelical colleges aren't able to stand against this either, Bill.
No. They've been falling like dominoes for the past several years.
Well, so many of them are egalitarian anyway in their philosophy. If you step into these Christian colleges and say, how does 1 Timothy chapter 2 play into the way in which you teach men and women in this college, they're not going to say, hey, yeah, we follow the biblical approach to feminine and male roles. The average Christian college isn't going to say that. They go along with it. And that, of course, is why they are doing their best to go along with the Title X funding.
Because you got to follow the money. You got to follow the money.
If they're taking the Title X funding through Pell Grants and other means, friends, you know they're going to have to kowtow to Title X systems and Title X programs, which did not allow for anything but egalitarianism and feminism and equal opportunity in the sports programs and all the rest in Christian colleges. And this goes back into the 1970s. So the Christian colleges, increasingly gutless. And see, again, friends, the Gramscians have been incredibly powerful in manipulating the Christian mind as well as the non-Christian mind as the zeitgeist turns us towards egalitarianism at every single point. I can't think of another reason why they would kick speakers like Star Parker, who's a pro-lifer,
yep,
out of Northwestern University.
Well, it's because of her delivery. Is because of her delivery.
Too controversial. But she survives in UCLA.
It was too harsh.
She survives in Harvard. She survives in many of the secular colleges, but did not survive at Northwestern. I think the evangelicals are leading the pack on this Gramscian thing.
Yeah. They're lemmings going over the cliff.
Hmm. Well, friends, women in combat. What do we say about women in combat? What does the Word of God say about women in combat? Do we treat men and women equally when it comes to the issue of women in combat, women in the military, Women signed up for the draft.
There's a difference between women in combat and women in the military, because we Christians recognize that women prayer warriors really have been significant in furthering the cause of Christ. So women fight. They fight by praying. They fight by training children. They fight by by leading women's Bible studies. But now you're talking about women in the military. Now, that's a different thing, right? Picking up arms, actual arms.
Well, Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, it's interesting. We read, "A woman shall not wear a warrior man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God." It's interesting this verse applies to transgenderism as well as to women in the military. It's interesting how this is the one verse that brings feminism together with gender confusion. And we've said this before, if you have gender role confusion, you're probably going to wind up with gender confusion too.
Sure.
And these things go hand in hand, both of which are an abomination to the Lord. A woman shall not wear a warrior man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. The Hebrew word, by the way, is the warrior man's garment. It doesn't say man's garment. It says the warrior man's garment. It's a slightly different Hebrew word, of course, translated wrongly in many translations. But if you go into the Hebrew, you're going to find that Deuteronomy 22:5 passage refers to a woman wearing a warrior man's garment. Women in combat gear, it's just not a fit. I think we've said this before, but you ever seen a poodle in a tutu?
Actually, yeah.
It's interesting, but not really engaging.
No, it's not like, and I've never seen a German Shepherd in a tutu.
That would be even less appropriate.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Rottweiler in a tutu.
Yeah, that wouldn't be appropriate either. And there's some things that just aren't appropriate. I think people need to see this, that God has made the world with a sense of appropriateness. He has designed men for certain purposes. He's designed women for certain purposes, and he's designed Rottweilers for certain purposes.
Yeah.
And when we begin to apply wrong purposes, wrong ends to the creation that God has made, and when we begin to violate God's intent in his creation, friends, we produce what Deuteronomy 22 refers to as an abomination to the Lord your God. And I think, Bill, that the root issue I keep fighting for and trying to identify the root issue in these issues, and I think the root to much of this is that men are wimps. I really think there is something of a lack of faith and a lack of courage among men. Men are wimps when they send their daughters out to fight wars. If somebody's breaking into my house and I send my daughter downstairs with a .45 to confront the bad guy, I'm a wimp.
Right.
I'm a wimp.
You're not taking authority for your own house.
I'm not protecting my family.
Not exercising jurisdiction.
How else, though, would you define me? Yeah, that's true. I don't take responsibility. That's true. But there's something more than that. I'm kicking my daughter out to confront the bad guy. What's wrong with me, Bill?
Yeah. You know, this was popularized by movies like Mulan, you know, with Disney. You know, it's the idea that women can be equal with men in all things, including in war.
Mm.
And that's simply not true.
Mm.
Men can't be equal with women in certain things. I can't bear children.
Right.
You know?
Right. You can argue and fight and insist against God's roles as long as you'd like until you get blue in the face, but it's not going to help you any because it's not going to change the basic constitution and the basic purpose for which God has created you.
And it's a matter of role. It's not a matter of worth or value.
Absolutely.
It's a matter of what role do you have.
Absolutely. Men and women of equal value. Absolutely. However, different economic roles. And I think people need to remember this, that, you know, an axe head, an axe handle. What if you had an axe head and axe handle competing against each other? That'd be odd, wouldn't it? You know, the axe head trying to prove itself better at chopping trees than the axe handle. Now, if you put the axe handle on the axe head, now you're cutting down some trees. But the problem, friends, is when the axe heads compete with the axe handles, the handle, the head, different roles. Same value, different roles. They team up, good things start to happen, and that, of course, is the basis for the family economy. Well, men are wimps when they send their daughters out to fight wars, and men are wimps when they won't stand up against feminism and speak out with a love of God and a love for his law order. I think both of these are related, Bill. I think the fact that Congress is silent on the issue of the female draft is because men are wimps when they send their daughters out to fight wars, and men are wimps when they won't stand up against feminism. They won't speak against feminism because they're wimpy. And they send their daughters out to fight wars because they're wimpy. They're lacking in faith and courage. It reminds me of what Rudyard Kipling said in The Gods of the Copybook Headings. What a classic poem to really define what is going on in the 20th and 21st centuries. This is the line that sticks in my mind from Rudyard Kipling, friends. The women had no more children. The men lost reason and faith. And the gods of the copybook heading said, the wages of sin is death. Is that pretty much what's going on here? The women aren't having children. They're fighting wars. The women aren't producing children. They're not nurturing life. They're destroying life. Meanwhile, the men are cowered under the sofa somewhere. They're just afraid. They're afraid to speak. They're afraid to fight. They're afraid to engage. Men have lost reason and faith.
Yeah, they've lost their voice. They've lost their purpose.
You know, Christians obliterated women in the military, the idea of women in the military in AD 550, as we treated the subject in Taking the World for Jesus. It was Adoman. The famous missionary Andoman that took a position against women in the military. He would find women and their babies. He would carry their babies into war. He'd find both of them slaughtered on the battlefield. And he found that the men were pushing the women out onto the front lines. And these pagans were being sure that women were taking the first blows. And so Andaman decided he would stop that, and he went around the tribal units throughout southern Scotland, northern Scotland, and created a signature, a document, and all of these chieftains signed the document and agreed they would no longer tolerate it, and if it happened, they would bring some kind of a fine or some kind of a
punishment
upon those that would force women into combat. So that was 550 AD, and for about 1,500 years, the Christian world and life view as relating to women in combat was prevailing until just the last 10 or 15 years. So we're looking at the breakdown of the Christian influence at the most basic level of all of humanity going on right now. Biblical law is dead set against women in the military. Nehemiah 4:14 refers to Nehemiah speaking to the nobles, leaders, the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of these people coming at us. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Now, we don't see the term fight for your husbands. Did you notice that?
All right. And he goes on to say, our God will fight for us.
It does. It does.
Men need to stand up and then rely on God.
Which means men need reason and faith.
Right.
Men need to come back and embrace reason and faith. Also, the New Testament is, I think, just as clear on this. We do need the New Testament to confirm our view of the Old Testament law. 1 Corinthians 9:5 says this. This is what the Apostle Paul says concerning the apostles. 1 Corinthians 9:5, have we not the power to lead about our sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. The newer translations, you know, went egalitarian on the word. So be careful with the new translations of that verse. The word is adelphane. Adelphane is sisters. So what we're saying here is that the apostles took responsibility to lead about their sisters as well as their wife and provide for them. The idea is that they were responsible for providing the material well-being for their own sisters as well as for their families. Also, 1 Timothy 5:8 says if man doesn't care for his household, that would be his wife, his daughters, his mother, his grandmother. If a man does not care for his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the very definition of an unbeliever is a man who refers to provide for his mother, for his grandmother, for his wife, for his daughters. Friends, that's the very definition of an unbeliever, according to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. So as we wrap up the program today, Bill, I'd like to hit our very first priority as we faced what appears to be the inevitability of the female draft coming down the pike. So what will we do? What should our listeners do? And here's the very first priority. For the love of your daughter and for the love of your wife, be sure you are a member of a church in a denomination that has officially taken a position against women in the military and women in combat. If you attend a politically correct church, if you're in an egalitarian church, then you are subjecting your daughters to the draft. So, again, I address men who want to be real Christians, and they don't want to be called worse than an unbeliever, as defined by 1 Timothy 5:8. The very first priority, men, is this. You've got to get into a church that has officially taken a position against women in the military. And I just checked the website for our denomination, the Covenant Presbyterian Church. I just checked this morning. I did a copy and paste on this one. Here's what it says. This is our denomination's position against the female draft. It is not lawful for women to serve in military service except for voluntary acts of mercy. It is not lawful for the civil government to draft a woman into the military or to require them to register for potential draft into civil or military service. And then follows are the scriptural passages, Deuteronomy 25 to 20, 1 Timothy 2:12, Titus 2:5, Numbers 1 and 2, 1 Samuel 8:13 and 16, and they missed a couple of the verses that I recommended just earlier. But friends, again, be sure that your church, absolutely right now, be sure that your church and your denomination has taken an official position against women in the military and the female draft. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations radio broadcast. But let me encourage you to our little book, Family Life, which introduces you to the biblical family and the biblical roles of men and women. This is actually critical when we raise our sons and daughters in an egalitarian age. Be sure that you're not raising your daughter with this idea that she's going to be that firefighter. She's going to be that person defending the city in the police force. She's going to be that person joining the SWAT team. She's going to be that person that will defend the nation. No. That's not a biblical concept in preparing our daughters for life. So start with our little book that introduces the biblical family. It's called Family Life, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.